NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Back in here, y'all, for another episode of Believe in Kentucky. My name is Vinny Hardy. Got AG and Gershon. Does his thing for the Cats Paws. Y'all know him and his work. The vacation in AG, man. How's everything going, Aaron?
It's going well, man. I apologize. My service here has been brutal, so we had some camera issues that got us started late. But everything's going great. It's been a good little break after a long week last week, a good week, but a long week out in Omaha, and it's good to be on a little bit of a vacation, but also good to talk some UK stuff here tonight with the NBA draft going on, obviously baseball ending last week, so, you know, trying to keep up with everything.
Yeah, that's it, and it's happening in real time right now, man. You know, the draft, we got Robin Reed in the top 10, so we got to start right there, and we're definitely going to get your thoughts on Omaha. Don't think we won't, but Reed Shepherd going number 3 to the Houston Rockets.
You're Houston Rockets.
Selfishly, personally, I'm real excited. There was talk of trading the pick. There was talk of bringing in Kevin Durant, and I'm like, what are we doing? Look, no disrespect to KD, great player, great career, but look, man, he's
young team.
Too many miles, and I'm like, we don't need to. We got a nice young team, 41-41. The West is tough, but they're heading in the right direction.
No doubt.
He may have his issues in Boston, but he's a good coach, and I'm glad we got him.
Yeah, good coach.
So now you add Reed into this young mix, you know, with Jalen Green and Sangin and all those guys, and Jabari from Auburn, and I like this nucleus. I think he'll fit in well. So with the 3rd pick, you know, see them tweeting out they got their guy. I'm glad they're not trying to mess with that. And then 5 picks later, we see Rob going to the Spurs. So, you know, 2/3 of the Texas triangle.
Traded to Minnesota, is that right? Is that what I saw?
Okay. Since we signed on, he already been moved. All right. Well,
I believe so. That's just the NBA draft for you. It's the most annoying draft to kind of have to keep up with just because there's so much movement. But I think I saw something that he's going to Minnesota. But I mean, look, Reed Shepherd going 3rd overall. I mean, if you were to tell anyone that this time last year, I mean, they'd just call you crazy. I mean, he was a 4-star guy, and, you know, he's a McDonald's All-American, but a four-star guy who everyone kind of expected would kind of have the role he did this year. Well, I wouldn't say that. He was expected to be a bench player. He wasn't expected. People were hoping for, you know, 20 minutes a game off the bench from him, and for him to be a 2-3-4-year guy. And he ends up being the top player in college basketball drafted. I mean, that's just insane. So, you know, super happy for him, obviously, in that small fraternity of just, you know, Kentucky guys from this state to be drafted, especially that early. I mean, you're talking the Rex Chapmans of the world. So really special ground and territory for him, and going to a great spot, like you mentioned, with all those things in Houston. And then with Rob, did we confirm it is Minnesota?
Yep. And then got Ron in the comments saying he got traded to Minnesota, which they had a great run. Another team that's in the mix for a while, and him and Anthony Edwards, that's explosive as well. So
yeah, that's a lot of fun. I mean, look, it would have been, I was selfishly hoping San Antonio would hold on to that one just because he'd love to see Rob and Wemby. I know that was something talked about for God knows how long. But look, Minnesota's, like you said, they're coming off a really great run there. Anthony Edwards has kind of established himself as probably a top 5-3 player in this league. And, you know, Cat up there, so Kentucky connection right away. Gobert was the defensive player of the year. So, you know, they have a squad up there, too, that Rob can fit into and win right away, which is hard to do in this league when you get drafted in the lottery. So I think they're two pretty darn good landing spots for both of those guys. I just can't get over the fact that Reed, again, I mean, shoot, just to be the third overall pick and be the first college player taken in this draft after just what the expectations were for him. And again, it's just all the credit in the world to him for putting in the work and having the year he had. And, you know, it's disappointing from Kentucky's perspective. It ended, you know, the way it did in the postseason, but for Reed Sheppard, man, there's nothing to hang your hat about. So really, really cool stuff. And it's a painful reminder that you had two top 10 picks on the bench all year, but you know, at this, you just got to be happy for those two guys. I mean, it's pretty darn cool. And you know, Kentucky had a little bit of a drought without a top 5 pick. I think De'Aaron was the last one. So, you know, that drought ends last year of the Cal era, and it couldn't have happened to two better kids.
Yeah. You know, Reed from London, the 606, the 13th region, an hour from where I grew up, you know, same region as far as high school basketball. From the 606 to the number 3 pick in the draft. And like you said, in a year, not developing and gradually working and blossoming into that. Boom. 1 year, came off the bench for the bulk of it, and still, you know, showed out at the combine. You know, let everybody know how athletic he was there with the vertical and the insane shooting. And just, I mean, and here he is.
First college player. Crazy.
If it wasn't for France, he'd have been the number one pick.
That's exactly right. Just crazy. I don't think anyone ever – you would have just been laughed at if you had predicted that a year ago. And, again, that's a total testament to him and the work he put in. Just crazy stuff. But, you know, he's earned it. And, you know, I'm not sure if he's going to be a superstar in the NBA by any means, but I think he's going to be a guy who's going to be in the league for a long time, and he's going to affect winning. And hopefully that'll start down there in Houston.
Yeah. So definitely happy to see that work out and see, you know, it's been a little while, been some rough times for the Rockets, and now seeing them kind of get things turned around. Like I said, the West is no joke, but
no,
they can kind of make strides. You know, absolutely. 41-41, and they made a push for the play-in. They kind of faded. You know, you see baseball teams kind of fade, and they faded down the stretch, you know, the last 6, 8, 10 games of the season, and, you know, losses kind of stacked up on them. But they got a lot of momentum. They got a lot to be excited about as far as the direction that the franchise is going.
No doubt about it.
Same thing. And appreciate you. Look, we're coming live, Believe Network, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Ron is hitting us in the comments. I think this is Ron's first time, so appreciate you, Ron. you want to make sure you confirmed the Minnesota trade as we were signing on, because that happened as we were coming on. Rob and Anthony Edwards will be fun. I definitely agree with that.
I agree with that.
Like you, Aaron, I wish he'd have been able to be in San Antonio with Wimby. Keldon Johnson's down there. That would have, you know, Pop is a great coach for however long he's going to keep going.
Even Castle too from UConn, who is a stud. That would have been fun. But look, Rob gets to go into a situation where he can win from day one. I mean, that's like I said, when you're a top 10 pick, you kind of sign up for some losing early for the most part, unless you're like Boston and they get all these picks from terrible trades and they end up with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown when they don't deserve them. But like you don't usually luck into picking up a spot with what the T-Wolves were in the Final Four, right? They were the Western Conference finalists. So that's a pretty good spot to be in.
You're ahead of schedule for sure. You know?
No doubt.
Took out the defending champs.
Right.
Nobody saw that. I still think we'll never know, but if Denver gets there, I still think they would have beaten Boston, but we'll never know now. But you got to credit Minnesota for what, on the road, game 7, down 20, and then you
go and finish it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty good spot to start your career, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So we're the two cats go to top 10, and this is the first year of the 2-day draft for the NBA trying to be like the NFL. It's usually always on Thursday.
Today. I was like, what are we doing? Why? Why? Just get it done. Yeah. I don't get it, but look, I don't think the ratings will be as good tomorrow night. But, you know, if Antonio and Justin don't come off tonight, hopefully they'll come off tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's 4 o'clock tomorrow. It's not even prime time tomorrow. It's mid-afternoon.
No offense. Like, look, I love college basketball and, you know, the NBA. My NBA fandom is kind of here and there. You know, obviously a Knicks guy and, you know, love when they're going well. But the draft, the second round of the draft goes fast already. It's usually over by midnight, 12:30 when they started at 8. And, you know, they just do the full 2 rounds. I get they're trying to get more viewership. I get there's no, you know, college baseball's over. And MLB is really the only show in town. NHL, you know, Stanley Cup just wrapped up. But it doesn't need to be a two-day event, whatever it's going to be. So I kind of feel bad that Antonio and Justin, if they don't get picked tonight, are going to have to wait the extra day. But I guess the NBA's got to do what they got to do.
Yeah, and surely to goodness, somebody can see the value in Antonio Reeves with,
you know, God, yeah. I get that his age is probably working against him, right? You know, he's 23, 24. There's more tires on, you know, more check on his tires than there are Rob Dillingham and Reed Sheppard. But we're talking about a guy who scored 20 in all but 2 or 3 games last season at Kentucky, playing in the SEC, you know, doing it every single night. Just such a consistent bucket getter. And he genuinely got so much better on the defensive end and rebounding, where he was a liability on the defensive end his first year at Kentucky. I'm sure he was a liability on the defensive end at Illinois State, but his first year at Kentucky, he was not a good defender, and he was not giving you much of a rebounder. If he wasn't scoring, he wasn't doing much for you, as we saw in the Kansas State game, right, where he could not make a shot, and there wasn't much he could do out there. But, you know, even games he shot 44%, one, he was still scoring 20 because he's just a bucket getter, but he was making things happen. He's getting 5 and 6 rebounds a night. He was matched up against the other team's, you know, top offensive player. And he was the one guy who you felt pretty good about on defense last year when there wasn't much of that for Kentucky last year. So he's just gotten his all-around game improved so much from year 1 to 2. And I thought just from, you know, getting to be around him, covering him, thought he matured a ton, thought he really embraced that leadership role he had to take on with such a young team. And I think an organization is going to find value in that. And, you know, if he's not taken late tonight, he'll hopefully go early tomorrow and capitalize the most he can financially. But there's got to be a spot for Antonio Reeves. I mean, he's a winner. He's a winner. He's, and you want to talk about showing up. I mean, He showed up against Texas A&M. He showed up against Oakland. Last year, you know, he had a tough game against Kansas State, but he showed up against Providence. He showed up against Vanderbilt. And he showed up in every big moment for the most part in his Kentucky career. He had one big moment where he didn't show up, or two that I can think of. One was the North Carolina game this year. Kentucky still won. He was able to do enough to, you know, help the team win. And then the Kansas State game had an off day, but, you know, there was no real other shooting threats to help him out on that team. This year, he was on it every single game outside of one. So there's got to be a spot for him. And he did it at Kentucky. I mean, he did it at the highest level possible.
And on that age note, how old is Dalton Connect? And we've got to talk about Tennessee later, but how old is aren't they just about the same age?
Yeah, they're about the same age. They are. So I think Connect might be a year younger. And
okay.
So, yeah, same argument can be made. I mean, look, Connect is the better all-around player. I don't think anyone's disputing that. Mm-hmm. But that is a good point. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. If I know he was probably late lottery. I don't know if he came off the board yet. TV's not working down here, so I don't have it in front of me.
Ron, I got it on, but it's Nicola topic for the Thunder. But Ron is just, you know, giving us pick by pick in the comments. He says Matsus Bazilis with the 11th pick to the Bulls.
Guys, man.
OKC 12, Nicola.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Topic, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Couldn't tell you.
And we're with you too, Ron. Appreciate you in the comments. Hope to see Edwards and Reeves probably tomorrow for both.
I would assume so.
Hopefully, it'd be great if they both win the first round.
I mean, look, I hope it for both guys, but Antonio, man, I mean, I hope he sneaks into the end of tonight. He put in the work, he did it the hard way. Right, going to mid-major, working his way up here, coming back for another year, getting better. You know, he did it the hard way. So it'd be really cool to see him get rewarded.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So congrats to Rob and Reed. Gonna be linked forever for their year at Kentucky. And now both going top 10 in the draft. I think it was Corey Price said that Reed is the highest drafted Eastern Kentucky native now going third, because you had Wawa Jones, who was in the 40s from Harlan County, went to Harlan High School, I think 1949. He was drafted eighth. And so now Reed is going third. So the highest drafted mountain kid from the state. So, And like you said, and to do that, to just rocket up the charts, you know, the way he did, you know, just, and it went from, is Cal even gonna offer him?
Offer him, take him.
Will he play? Is he good enough to, oh, why isn't he starting? I mean, just
should have started. Boom. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he defied every odd, every skeptic, all those words, man. He defied all expectations, exceeded them, and you know it paid off. He put in all the work, and I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, for sure. There's been episodes where y'all listeners know in the past where, you know, Aaron, you're like, I'm just gonna let you have a floor, like when Trent Noah committed to Kentucky, you just let me have a floor. Gotta let you have a floor. First of all, you've been to Omaha before, but not for covering a game because the Cats weren't there. What is time the Cats were there? So you went Friday before the NC State game on Saturday and got to stay for a while. So, man, just recap the detail of the trip, the covering the games, the getting to know the city of Omaha better on the off days, whatever you want to hit on, man. We gotta hear your account of your Omaha trip, man.
Yeah, it was super cool. And that was my first. I had been to Omaha, but not to the College World Series, so I hadn't been in the ballpark, anything. So going there, you know, Saturday before the game, and it was just special, man. You know, it's one of those bucket list things to cover, right? You know, gotten very, very fortunate to cover NCAA tournament games, cover SEC tournament games, some really good bowl games football-wise, but, you know, that there's just something about the College World Series where, you know, it's like the Final Four of baseball, or it's the Final Four, essentially, of baseball, and it's one of those marquee college sporting events that you want to be able to attend, and it lived up to it. It really did. It's a beautiful ballpark right in downtown there in Omaha. You could tell, like, this is their, that city, they need the college, not, I don't want to say it that way, but, like, it's their Christmas, right? Like, everything around the ballpark, all the bars are, so many of them are baseball themed. It's a baseball junkie town. They love baseball in that city. You can just, they're, it's so, they have so many different events going on. They had the Fan Fest. Everyone sees the, you know, the Ferris wheel in the outfield, but there's batting cages out there. They set up all these things. They got a live stage. They have music all over the place. There's this tent city where there's, you know, 40, 50 tents of merchandise, different sales, clothing stuff going on, you know, base Rawlings, baseballism, all these different, you know, shopping brands or baseball equipment stuff. Just so, so cool what they have set out up there. You know, all the bars were just jam-packed. We had trouble getting into any of them. We went to one for lunch right outside right field there, but it's hard to get in anywhere. Just amazing how many people show up and show out for that thing. And, you know, Kentucky fans, I thought it was awesome. I mean, I talked to fans from all over that made the trip to come out there. And, you know, one family from Michigan mentioned they had come to Lexington for the regional, the super, and then came to Omaha. So, like, to do that for Kentucky baseball, that's pretty cool. You know, for basketball, you see that stuff all the time, but for Kentucky baseball, a program that, look, it's historically not what Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss is. Like, it is just not, it's what Missouri is. I'm just putting it out there. Like, they just don't have the history. And to see the buy-in that the Big Blue Nation had for this team out there in Omaha was really, really cool. But environment, top-notch, and then, you know, as far as the games, I mean, the first game, like, I don't think it could have gone any better. I mean, look, yeah, would you want to blow someone out? Sure. But to have that magical game there, you know, obviously the other two didn't go well, but that one where, you know, you're kind of expected to win that game. NC State was a team that was more so, you know, caught hot heat at the right time, right, where Kentucky all year long was pretty consistent. NC State, you know, their pitching numbers not great, whatever, but, you know, they battled Kentucky really hard, and, you know, Kentucky fell behind going in the bottom of the ninth, and first time the whole tournament they were trailing, and when Nicholson hits that home run to lead off the bottom of the ninth, they're like, oh my, like, this team just refuses to lose, and the fight they had is special. And then obviously the way they win it, you know, could have been, you know, you mess up a hit and run, right? Where Daly, I forget, did he swing and miss? Did he not swing? There's been a lot going on, obviously. So it's been a whirlwind. But Devin Burks gets thrown in a second, and you're like, oh, well, one more pitch. We're going to the 11th. But, man, Daly gets into one, and just that's a moment that he'll never forget. This program, probably the biggest swing in Kentucky baseball history. So, you know, super glad they got to have that moment. Obviously, A&M. And I'd love to talk about what happened there with the coaching situation before we wrap up. But A&M, you just ran into a buzzsaw. Like they were the hottest team in the country outside of Tennessee. Ryan Prager, their ace, dominant. We saw he dominated Tennessee too. Ran into a buzzsaw there, and then you know Florida, kind of the same thing. I really didn't want that Florida matchup was tough for Kentucky if they were going to play face them. On a day, it wasn't Trey Pouzer or Mason Moore. I mean, it just is what it is. Kentucky's pitching. We've all known it. You know, outside of those two guys, the starting rotation, there's not really a third guy ever since Dominic Nyman started to struggle. And Florida's offense is, for my money, probably the second best offense in Omaha outside of Tennessee's, just from the power standpoint, from Castiglione. You just you throw him anything near the zone, it's a hit or a home run. It's just that guy is unbelievable. So, you know, they ran into a buzzsaw, and it ended in a obviously a very convincing loss. But I still think the accomplishment of being, I think they were in the final five. They were the fifth team left. They win a game in Omaha. They get to Omaha for the first time ever. There's a ton to build on, ton to be proud of. And, you know, now you've smelt it. Now you've tasted it. And now the goal is to get back there. And there's going to be some expectations from the fan base, which is really cool to have. So, I had a great time. We definitely made the most of the trip. It was a really cool 5-6 days out there. And I thought Kentucky represented, the fans represented the program great, represented the school great, the state great. The team, you know, had a magical game. It didn't end the way they wanted, but it was pretty cool. There's a lot to build on.
So I said it last week, you know, they, as far as the history, you know, you get to host a regional, win it, host a super regional, win it, make your first trip to Omaha and win a game. You know, somebody has to go 2-and-done every year at Omaha. This time it was NC State and Virginia. But Kentucky could have went out there and went 2-and-done.
They were three outs away from it, man. If Nicholson doesn't hit that home run, They're 2-and-out. And exactly. I don't think you get mad at them if they go 2-and-out. You're still proud of what they were able to do. They were the number 2 overall seed. So, yeah, it would be a little bit disappointing not to get one. But the way they got that one, just the fact that they hadn't trailed all tournament long, it was really, really the first piece of adversity they hit the whole tournament. Because the Oregon State game got tied up and it was close. But they pretty much coasted their way to Omaha, which is super impressive. And to go out there, fall behind, and two swing, you know, what, second pitch of the inning? I mean, just fairy tale stuff that went on that day. And it was a super cool moment. I mean, biggest two swings for my money in Kentucky. Every, you know, when you keep doing things you've never done before, it becomes, you know, this is the most important pitch, every important swing, whatever. But those were, to me, the two biggest swings in Kentucky baseball history, Nicholson and Daly's home run.
That's it. And everybody talked about Daly in the Super Regional, the pick he made at third base before they, you know, got the final out. Then you go fast forward to Saturday against NC State. You know, Ty Crittenberger comes in at center field, makes a diving catch that's pivotal, you know.
Nolan McCarthy was not that they kept having to take him out because he hurt his calf on the Pete Rose dive against Oregon State. Mm-hmm. And Crittenberger comes in, a guy who hasn't played much at all down the stretch. And that catch was humongous and just shows the buy-in this team had, right? Where all however many guys on the roster didn't, you know, Crittenberger was a guy who came in as a grad transfer. He was hoping to be Jackson Gray, right? He's from WK. Western Kentucky, Jackson Gray, the center fielder from 23, came over from Western Kentucky, was outstanding you know, last season, and Crittenberger kind of had the same goal, but, you know, his year didn't go as planned. McCarthy won that job fair and square in center. Crittenberger was a bench guy. His number gets called when it hadn't been getting called much, and he makes the biggest catch of the year, arguably, on the biggest stage possible. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that play up. That play got overshadowed by the two home runs, for sure.
And the commentators, and this happens pretty much every time, you know, you throw a guy out there, defensive replacement, the ball finds you.
The ball finds you.
And, I mean, it was a tough play, but he was ready. Like you said, number was called. Could have went out there and kicked the ball around and made an error and just, you know, really, really had a terrible moment. But he was up for it, man. He was ready.
He sure was. Yeah. Yeah. It was that was really cool. That was one of the cooler ones of the year that I covered for sure. And it stings that you lose to two conference rivals. Florida kind of kicks you in a little bit, but there's so much to build on from this season. And I think they've done a really good job so far in the transfer portal. You know, we'll see what happens with MLB draft decisions. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose a lot. We know, you know, that's just the nature of college baseball. I think it's going to be five of their starting nine, right? They'll lose Nicholson for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Lopez is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Burks has another year if he wants it. So we'll see what he does. Petrie is going to be a draft pick. He's gone. Grant Smith is gone. Waldschmidt's gone. So there's going to be a lot of work to do. McCarthy has another year if he wants it. So, you know, it's a grind. It'll be hard to pick up the pieces. We'll see what Mason Moore does. That's the big draft decision, I think. I think it's pretty much a given. You're going to lose Petrie. You're definitely going to lose Waldschmidt. Mason Moore is going to be the real, real interesting one. If you're able to hang on to him and get him a second year in that rotation, try to get those walks down. I mean, if he gets the walks down, he could be a top 10, 15 starting pitcher in college baseball. There's no doubt. He's got the velocity. He's got the movement. It's just the control for him. And just the overall longevity. He'll go sail through four, and then that fifth inning hits, and he just kind of melts down a little bit. So if they're able to get him back somehow, that would be massive. But you're obviously going to lose Trey Pouzer. The Nyman was great in the first half, fell apart in the second half. You lose him. Travis Smith's already in the portal. So, you know, there's work to do. That's just the nature of college baseball. They've been dealing with the transfer stuff before college football and basketball. But the foundation's certainly been set, and you want to be able to capitalize on the momentum you built this year.
So we kept hearing about, you know, maybe the crossroads moments against Kennesaw State when they get, you know, beat down, you know, one game, but they got drilled the first two.
Sure.
And
did.
From that point on, it was, you know, we bring our own energy and, you know, do what you got to do as far as the dugout. Don't just be sitting over there not doing anything. Do you think that or some form of that continues? You think the style of play continues? Did they recruit that attacking? They don't like the small ball. They like to just, you know, whatever it takes kind of ball. You think they continue that continues to be the philosophy going forward, even if you maybe get another big stick and some more arms, but still overall.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think the personality stuff started really at the end of 22. You started to see it with that Pump It Up stuff they did, and you know, the Vampire Walk Up song that Waldy has. Adam Fogle, the left fielder that year, used it, and that, you know, it started then. So, you know, I do think the personality stuff definitely carries over as far as the style of play. Yeah, I think the way they've recruited in the portal so far, I don't have the names in front of me, but I know the one outfielder they got from Canisius, I believe his name is Jackson Strong. Guy stole 40 bags last year. I mean, that's a crazy number. I get it was at Canisius, and the catchers in the SEC are going to have better arms, and the pitchers are going to have faster moves, whatever. But 40 bases, 40 bases. That's the guy who's going to be able to attack you in a lot of different ways. So, and then I think they're still going to be able to – they're still going to bring in guys, and they have brought in a couple. You know, they have a transfer coming in from Columbia, one from Illinois State, guys who played a lot of baseball. The kid from Columbia, whose name's slipping me right now, is a first baseman DH guy who is a three-time first team all Ivy leaguer. So I think it's going to be another good balance offensively of what they can do. I think they're going to try to probably more so do what they tried to do this past year. I think 23, they were definitely more that ultra dependent on the small ball. They were dead last by a mile in the SEC in home runs, but this year, you know, they were able to hit for pop. I mean, Brian Nicholson tied a single season program home run record with AJ Reed and a couple other guys. Waldy hit 14 or 15 homers. Petrie had power, and he hit a home run, you know, in that last game in Omaha. So I think they're going to try to have that balanced attack like they did this year. I think they were definitely a little too reliant on the small ball. That's why they didn't really – I mean, LSU was a buzzsaw. I don't think anyone really had a chance against them in that super down in Baton Rouge, but I don't think they were probably going to get through most super regionals with that offense in 23. This one last year definitely was good enough to get them through, as we saw, and I think they're going to try to replicate that as much as possible.
Yeah. So going back to Omaha, the city, real quick. The way they go all in for the College World Series, kind of like how Louisville does for the Derby.
Yes, is it? That's a great comp. I mean, it is. Yeah, it's their Christmas. Like I said, it's their Super Bowl. I mean, those 11 days in Omaha, man, they go all out. And the crowds were, like I said, I don't know what the average, it had to be. I know the stadium holds somewhere in the 25s. It had to be, I think the lowest crowd was probably that 10 a.m. makeup between Kentucky and Florida, because it was at 10 a.m. And even then, there was a good 22 or 23,000 in the ball. Wow. I mean, whether, you know, you've fans coming in for their respective schools, and we all know the schools that were in this thing this year, especially the ones in the SEC, they're going to travel for it. But, you know, so many folks from Nebraska, you see a lot of Cornhusker stuff. You see a lot of folks from Iowa, just locals who, you know, this is it, man. This is their event. This is Omaha's event. It's been there for over 60, 70 years, whatever it's been. So they definitely go all in on it. The city is just, it's a baseball heaven for 11 days. And it's super cool. I definitely hope they can get back there again. It was awesome. They definitely go all out. That is, they treat that like Louisville does the Derby, like whoever the Super Bowl city that year is hosting the Super Bowl, like New Orleans post Mardi Gras, like Omaha's event is the College World Series. There's no doubt about it.
That's cool. Get you some Omaha steaks while he's out there. You have to,
I didn't really, like I said, man, the restaurants were hard to get into. we went to one local place for lunch, and we didn't really get to go out too much, just because it was just hard to get in anywhere. But we still had a good time.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Definitely had to hear from you since you were out there, man. Just soaking it up, getting right in the middle of everything. When it got rained out, did you go to the meet and greet, or did you just skip out on that?
It kind of worked out. I actually caught a pretty bad cold the last 2 days I was out there, so I was kind of like, thank God I'm staying in bed. So I would have gone to the meet and greet if I was feeling up to it, but I was pretty bad shape that day. I was kind of relieved when we had the rain out and got some extra rest in there.
But, recharge your batteries a little bit.
So. But I thought that was a really, really smart idea. I mean, reward the fans we've been saying it forever for basketball. You know, you want to be able to reward the fans as much as you can. You know, winning is how you do it on with the basketball program. But when you have a rain out, when you have this sort of special season and people are making this trip out to Omaha, which, like, I think what people, everyone's like, oh, why wasn't there even more Kentucky fans? Like, there's no way you could have planned for this if you're a Kentucky fan. Yeah, they had a great year last year, but this is not something Kentucky's ever done before. Like, Tennessee fans probably had, you know, their hotel rooms in Omaha for a while, and you respect that. I mean, I was talking to some folks who were offered some folks over at UK were telling me they were offered hotel rooms from Oregon State family and friends because they expected to be there. Like, these fan bases plan to be there. Kentucky's doesn't. So for the fans that did, you know, spur of the moment, decide to make the trip out to Omaha, whether they're from, you know, the Commonwealth, wherever they're from, for them to have an event like that where they got to go out and meet the team the night before a game, supposed to be the game, you know, they were able to do something pretty special for the contingency that was there. I thought that was a very, very smart idea on whoever's part came up with it, whether it was Coach Minge, whether it was Matt May at UK Athletics, whoever it was, really good call there.
Yeah, because just to utilize that time that you would have been watching the game, and it was a good turnout, and you know, signing and getting pictures and meeting kids and older fans and just everybody across the board, man. That was great. So we, as far as teams we saw win, you know, we had to sit and watch Boston win the title, and then we could just follow that up by seeing Tennessee win the title. And they're a prohibitive favorite, yes, they're number one overall seed. And when they beat Florida State the first time, when they should have been beat.
They probably shouldn't have.
You kind of knew, well, that was their clunker, and they still won. And they kind of locked in after that. They took care of North Carolina and Florida State a second time. And I'm like, you saw them, the train rolling down the track then. And they were able to – lost that first one to, like you said, you mentioned Prager did the same way. Yeah. But they battled back in game two. And then game three, you know, the Aggies fight back in the ninth and have a chance. But that slide ended up being a difference in the game where they missed the tag. And so Tennessee wins the College World Series. Maybe had a better team a couple years ago when Notre Dame beat them.
They did.
But they got it done.
Yeah, that team might have even been on paper better than LSU last year. Like, that team was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But, A&M also, you know, they had the leading game too on Sunday, I think it was, and they couldn't close.
So
got to give Tennessee a ton of credit. That's a great roster. Tony Vitello has done an incredible, incredible job there. You know, they were a program who's, you know, they've had their years. You know, they had the Todd Helton days in the 90s. They were in the finals of this thing and way back in the 50s and 51. But, you know, they, for 10, 13 years, fell on pretty hard times. And Vitello, man, he's brought that thing to levels it's never reached before. I think they've been in Omaha three of the past 4 years. Like you said, probably their best roster, lost in Supers, shows you just how hard it is to do this thing. And, you know, they finally broke through, and you got to give them a ton of credit. They have a ton of future pros on that team, and, you know, they got it done, and they're not going anywhere. They're going to be a really good program for a really long time. But the A&M thing, that whole story is just crazy to me. Like, I'm still, again, I am on vacation mode, so I've only gotten it's and pieces of it. But if their coach was really out the door, like, before they even got to Omaha, one, credit to the players, like, if they knew about that, for still going out there and fighting their butts off and nearly winning a College World Series while their coach was going to their rival, who's going to be in the conference, like, the whole time. But that's just crazy. Like, that whole thing, if they were really recruiting already, which they probably were. I mean, this whole coaching staff left. You don't really usually see that, like, with assistants, like, that they all get hired the same next day. Like, he brought his whole staff there on day one. Like, that, you don't usually see that over time. Like, Chuck Martin at Arkansas, I think, just got announced officially, like, a month ago. Like, that Cal's been there for 2-3 months now. So, it's just, it's crazy what happened with that situation and the fact that A&M was still, like you said, a runaway, a tag away from maybe winning that College World Series with a coach who was essentially like a lame duck. He made himself a lame duck.
By his choice.
Yeah. So just that's one of the wilder stories in college baseball. It's why the transfer portal is what it is and why, like, you hate it, but you can't be mad at it, because if these coaches can go do that, and I think coaches, you know, they have more of a right to move around than they're probably – they get killed for sometimes. But, you know, they got to go take a better opportunity. The family stuff is real. The money's real. It is what it is. But for you to practically – if the rumors were true that he was out the door like a month ago, way before Omaha, it's just – it's a terrible look. And then obviously, you know, the worst of it being – the reporter from, I believe, Texags, who I thought asked it so maturely, just being like, I respect the fact that y'all just had this tough loss, you know, lose the national championship game, but, you know, he did it as respectfully as he can, and to call him selfish and then go and do exactly what kind of the whole country knew he was going to do the next day, just belittling that reporter, just ridiculousness. So that was absolutely wild. It might honestly be – it's probably – it's a good thing for college baseball in the sense it's going to get eyes on the sport, right? But yeah. You don't want it to be for that reason. And now A&M, all their top dogs hit the portal. I know Lavalette, who's probably going to be the top – maybe the top pick in next year's draft. He's only – he has got another year of college that he has to play. Jeff Kent's kid, Caden Kent, hit the portal. He had a really, really good tournament. So really good – College World Series performance, especially in that first game against Tennessee. Their freshman leadoff hitter, who's a stud, I think freshman of the year in the league. So the ripple effects from that move are going to be pretty strong, because you know A&M's going to pony up and pluck a pretty good coach from somewhere. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Nick Mangione. I know he's on some of those rumored lists. I don't think it's going to be him, but they're going to pluck someone good, and the coaching carousel is going to heat up here with college baseball. But that was just – that was a wild, wild, wild story right there. Yeah. And you have I see Tennessee fans who are – we all know what they are on Twitter. I think – I have no problem with it. They're funny. It is what it is. But you have them being like, man, I hate this for A&M. Like, you know it's bad if that's what's being tweeted out from those guys.
Because, like, hypothetically, what was worse, if he had won the College World Series and still left for Texas, or lose like he did, lose by one run in game three and go to Austin, your most hated rival? I don't know which would be worse.
That's joining the conference next year and you have a home series against A&M does.
Yes. And if they hadn't, they would have flexed it and made it to where Texas goes to. Like, Arkansas's coming, Cal's coming to Lexington. They would have had Slosh going back to College Station. I mean, I think I said it last week or week before. You know, I remember, I'm old enough to remember whenever in the Big 8 or Big 12, whatever they were, Texas A&M and Texas playing on Black Friday in football. You know, you got Ricky Williams and, you know, Von Miller and all. And it's not SEC, and I'm an SEC guy, but I always like watching that game. And now they're coming to the SEC in football. Now, this three-game baseball series is going to be must-watch now when Texas comes back. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is going to be must-watch, and the crowds will be crazy down in Aggieland. That story is just – it's wild, man. That was a stunner. I mean, I guess – they're, you know, I knew Texas' coach. That was always happening there. I'd heard that before the College World Series. I'd, you know, read into where they might be looking, but I didn't know it was going to end like that, especially when I was sitting in the press conference room with that coach a week ago, a little more than a week ago after they beat Kentucky. So just wild.
Yeah, just like you said, for them to still advance. And then he was at TCU. Him and Vitello were together there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. I mean, if he keeps it up, I mean, he's TCU to A&M to Texas. You just got to get Baylor and Houston.
You know, yeah,
he'll have the state covered. So, I mean.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. That's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just wild. Yeah. Absolutely wild. But
yeah, we have to go to Rice also. He needs to go to Rice. Throw them in there. But
oh man, there's a lot of schools in that state.
Yeah, but I mean just wild, like you said. And was it Richard Zane or Richard, like you said, the reporter? I thought there was rumors that he went after him after the exchange, that he even like got his face afterwards, still trying to
But he did nothing wrong. He did his job. Yeah. And look, I get the timing of it sucks, but it's a question you got to ask. You got to do your job. And just like he's got a job to do and a more paid high job, a higher paid job to do, but got a job to do as well. And he definitely belittled that reporter for nonsense. I mean, the move was official 12 hours later.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to Tennessee, like you said, they won. I think they may have had the quickest parade in the history of parades.
They had it the next day.
Like, there were fans that didn't even make it back from Omaha replying to the tweet about where it was at. They're like, we're in Columbia, Missouri. There's no way we can make it back. So, I mean, it's like there were double plays that didn't get turned as fast as that parade did. It was.
Yeah, they got it done quick. They got to recruit, I guess, and they got to start their summer break. But that was a very quick turnaround. But that was kind of sting for the fans who were in Omaha and couldn't get there. But
we appreciate y'all coming. Tough cookies. We barely got to the airport and landed, and we doing the parade. Sorry, y'all couldn't make it back.
Sorry.
Yeah. Good to see y'all out there in Omaha.
That was a quick turn. I was like, back there, back and celebrating this thing quick. But, they'll be celebrating that thing for a year, and they deserve to.
Absolutely. So, the draft was the biggest thing tonight, the baseball as well. Had some football commitments and stuff like that, and got fall camp coming. Josiah Hayes was lost for the season. We never a few yeah, weeks that's, ago. That's so that was mm-hmm.
That's a tough one, but look, we knew there was something there on the defensive line. I'd heard for a while there was an injury there that was going to be season ending, was working to confirm which one it was, and unfortunately it's Josiah, a guy who's going to be a fifth year senior this year. He'll probably get a medical, I would think, and be able to come back next year, whether it's at Kentucky or somewhere else. So, I thought he was a guy who played a lot better, right? He was a 4-star guy coming out of Mississippi. The signing day flip that John Summerall got from Ole Miss, but for a couple of years, it kind of took a little bit for him to reach that potential, and I thought he had his best year of his college career this past season, and was a big part of that defensive line that, for the most part, was excellent in the run. So never want to lose an experienced nose tackle like that, but assuming Kentucky is in, the rest of that defensive line is healed up, there's still a lot of depth there. I think they definitely did try to get one more body, during that spring portal cycle. Didn't work out, but I think they still have, Keyshawn Silver's back. Khalil Saunders is a guy who I thought early on last year was playing at a really high level and, maybe hit a little bit of a redshirt sophomore wall, whatever it was. I don't know if he might have been nicked up, but I thought he played at an extremely high level at points early in the year. They have depth there. Never want to lose a guy like that, guy who's got that much experience, but number zero is still there, so that helps too.
Yeah, that's right. And how was he? Was Athlon second team All-America? I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I don't know how that guy's not first team All-American when he's going to be a top 10 pick next year, assuming he's healthy. So, it beats me. But that guy's a superstar.
Yeah. Got our buddy Athir coming in. So he's sorry he's late. Got a question for Aaron. Coach Pope doing a great job putting emergency roster together this season. Coming, should I be concerned moving forward for us to get great recruits like Cal did? Please.
That's a good question. I mean, look, I don't know if they're going to – I don't know if they're going to take five-star freshmen every year. I don't think it's going to work like that. I still think you're going to get your five-star guys. You're going to get McDonald's All-Americans. I don't know if it's going to be at the clip that Cal did, but it's also partly because college basketball's changed a heck of a lot, and you want to have a roster that is experienced, and you want to have a roster that has some continuity to it as much as you can. I mean, you look at the teams that have won the national championship the last 2 years. UConn, they've had – a mix of everything. They've had a couple impact transfers like Cam Spencer. They've had guys who in Klingon who were in the program for multiple years. They had guys like Castle who were star freshmen. So you need to have a combination of everything. And I think that's kind of what Pope's trying to build, right? I think if you're looking just at what the roster might look like, we'll put aside this year, but look at what next year might look like. I think, you might take 3 to 4 freshmen next year just because you're losing 6 or 7 5-fifth-year guys, but you're going to have at least 3 returners in Trent Noah and Travis Perry and Colin Chandler that you feel like you could build around and kind of be multi-year guys. And then maybe we'll see of the other transfers. Ortega Oway, I'll have another year. Brandon Garrison, I'll have another 2 years after this one. So, we'll see what the roster looks like, but I do think it's going to be, I wouldn't say they're going to get not going to be able to get elite talent. I think they'll be able to get pretty much whoever they want. I just don't know if they're going to go out and do it the same way Cal did for most of his tenure. And I don't even know if Cal's going to do that anymore. I just think even he's at the point where the sport has changed a lot. You got to have some continuity. You got to have some experience. And I think you're going to see a mix of that throughout the Pope era.
That's it. The Kentucky fans that are Lakers fans are bemoaning the fact that the Lakers just selected Dalton Connect with the I don't know, 17, 18 pick or something. What'd you say? You thought Bronny?
Not Bronny, come on. Nah. I like that fit. I like that fit. That's cool.
Yeah, so first draft pick of the J.J. Redick era.
Oh, my is God. It's just these TV guys getting these head coaching jobs, managerial jobs. I don't get it. I obviously, as a Yankee fan with Aaron Boone for this is year 6 or 7, whatever it is, I still don't get that. I never once understood it. So good luck to J.J. Redick.
Yeah. If you go ahead and type it up, or if you want to, it there, get it in. J.J. Redick, and like you got guys like Sam Cassell has been an assistant for 15 years. He played and won a couple of titles for my Rockets.
The guy has zero coaching. That's fine. It's the zero coach. Yeah, it's one thing if you go do like Joe Girardi or Buck Showalter, right? Those are guys who have been guys who were coaches or managers elsewhere, took a couple of years off, did TV, got fired, had TV in between, and then they come back and land elsewhere. That's one thing, right? It's the guys who have zero experience at any level coaching. And like Jeff Saturday, at least he had some high school coaching experience with the Colts, all right? At least he coached somewhere. J.J. Redick hasn't coached a damn thing, and Aaron Boone hadn't coached a damn thing. So that I'll never understand it. It makes me kind of – it's kind of like an icky feeling for the guys who, like you said, the guys who have rode the bench and have been assistants at a place for a long time or have just never gotten that opportunity. That's why, like, a guy like Brian Snicker with your Atlanta Braves, right? What was it, like 30 years in their minor league system?
Yeah.
Finally got a job crack and, won a World Series and, you know, kicked butt for the majority of his tenure. Like, those type of guys just get overlooked way too often in all sports, and that's why like a hire like J.J. Redick drives me nuts. But it's what it is.
And I mean we'll see. But you know, LeBron's.
We'll see. I could be totally wrong. But I just it feels like Coach LeBron, not Coach.
It's right. Get our. Second question from Mathir before we wrap up.
Yeah.
If the Cats finish top three in SEC, can Coach Pope win SEC Coach of the Year?
Remember, he said depends who's ahead of them and why they're ahead of them. Right? Or what else? Like, say, I don't know, Georgia has a magical year. They finished fifth, the year that no one expected them to have. You know, it's going to go to Mike White. So it depends on what happens for that Coach of the Year or the award. You know, I think this past year, who won it this past season? Was it Oates again?
I was thinking it was.
I think. I can't remember off the top of my head who it was. But usually you got to defy some sort of – you either have to dominate or you have to kind of overcome some obstacles or overcome some, you know, finish ahead of where you were projected. So, look, if Mark Pope goes out and wins the SEC or won – or finishes top two, and maybe Alabama, who everyone kind of thinks is going to win it, finishes ahead of them. Yeah, he'll have a really good shot at it. But we'll have to see what storylines unfold. There's always a team that exceeds who won SEC Coach of the Year is Lamont Paris this year. Now that I'm thinking,
That's right, that's right, that's right.
South Carolina was finished, but projected to finish last. And he was a guy that there was some talk like, is he even going to make it through year two? Like year one was that bad at South Carolina. So, if a guy like that, if Matt McMahon has that year in Baton Rouge, like that's the guy who's going to win it. So, we'll see what the storylines are looking like.
Yeah, for sure. Well, man, good stuff as always, even when you're on vacation, still getting good stuff. I'm sure Athea would agree with both of those answers. But glad you get to take a little break. How cool is it to come from Omaha straight to the beach? Is it, I mean, to go from Midwest to the beach, is that cool? Or is it like if you go to New York City?
if Kentucky could have won one more game, it would have been a little easier because I would have flown here. So I did have to go back to Lex and then drive here. So it's been a whirlwind of a, because I drove with Dan Hager, who we're going to get on here maybe even next week. I got to talk to him about that. And then Stephen Peak over at KSR, two really good guys, two buddies of mine. When they lost on Wednesday, we decided to drive halfway home. So we stopped just outside of St. Louis overnight at a hotel there and then finished the drive back to Lexington Thursday. So, and then I left for here up in the Panhandle in Florida on Saturday. So it was a crazy 48, 72 hours of travel, but it's been a very relaxing week, and we'll head back Saturday. And then I'm actually heading back on the road to go see some family in New York. So it's kind of hectic on my end right now, but I'm glad we had the time to do this and catch up on everything here.
Absolutely, man. I always appreciate you. Safe travels next week to see the fam and all that good stuff. And appreciate everybody takes the time to tune in and listen. Y'all subscribe and follow everything on YouTube. Is Believe in Kentucky Podcast, Believe in Kentucky on Twitter, Believe in Kentucky Facebook page, Threads, the Instagram, all that stuff. Follow, and you know, if you go to the Twitter, you can hit the link tree and then subscribe to everything. It's all right there, consolidated. Speaking of consolidated, still check out that Autograph app where, yep, you know, and tweeted them and say, hey, I'm listening to you all on the Autograph app. I listen to Believe in Kentucky. That's where I heard about it. And then you get all your content, all your podcasts, us as well as others, articles that Aaron writes, articles of Sia Blue, who puts all our episodes on their site. All of that is in the Autograph app. So download that Autograph Fan and Rewarded app and tell them, hey, found you guys because of listening to Believe in Kentucky. So congrats again to Rob and Reed on, absolutely, being drafted top 10. Congrats to Kentucky on a historic baseball season. Aaron was out there in Omaha. Glad you got to enjoy the trip. Glad you're able to catch your breath from the whirlwind and get to see some family next week, man. So enjoy it. We enjoy bringing the podcast to y'all. And we'll be back another episode next week. We get Jalen Whitlow back as well. He got a lot of whirlwind stuff going on too, but we'll get it all sorted out. And you know, when the season, fall sports get here, we'll be back at, you know, full strength doing our thing. But
oh yeah, that's the media days right around the corner too. So we'll heat up here.
That's it. So appreciate everybody. Another episode of Believe in Kentucky, brought to y'all by the Believe Podcast Network. We'll catch y'all next week.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar.
Noom hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything. Because anything can happen after noon.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.